We live in a high-tech world now. Okay. Is that working through our PA system?
It's on.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Mama, can you hear?
Jim called me just about a week ago and asked if I would be in town and available, and it worked out that I was. And so I'm happy to be here today by invitation. I'm always willing and helpful, hopefully helpful to him when times arise for him to get away. When he calls me, it's basically I'll be here and bring a message, basically what's where my marker is in the Bible. What am I studying right now? I'll just share with you my own personal Bible study. I've been going through the Bible for quite a long time now, working on trying to improve my vision. Not that there's something wrong with my eyes, but I want to be able to see things better in Scripture, to be able to see things that Jesus saw through His eyes, that our human eyes seem to lack those capabilities. And so I've gone through quite a good portion of Scripture looking for ways to improve my vision, and now I'm working on improving my hearing. To listen to some of the sounds recorded in the Bible and hopefully hear and improve my hearing as well as my vision, to hear what Jesus heard, not so much what others heard. And so today, we're going to be looking at one of the many sounds in the Bible that as we read the Scripture and listen to what's written, the recorded word, and pick out the sound, that we can go away today hearing, improving our hearing along with our vision to see and hear like Christ did when He was on this earth. He had ears and eyes just like you and I. But He had a unique way to improve His vision, His earthly vision. And we can do that too. He has a way to hear things in a different perspective, that we can hear what He hears if we will look at Scripture and study Scripture and improve our vision and our hearing. When Jesus saw a multitude following Him, and He spent all day teaching them, and it was time to send them away, the disciples said, "Send them away. It's a multitude of people. What's 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And while the disciples saw with their eyes a multitude of people, Jesus moved with compassion. His heart moved with compassion. Saw sheep without a shepherd." And I like to say that from Scripture, that we can see like Christ the world that we live in and see individuals and conditions far different from our human eye if we will use our heart and employ compassion. We will see situations far different. We can improve our vision just like Jesus did. Jesus saw things through using His heart to enhance His vision. And so today I would like to look at how Jesus and how we can use and improve our hearing in matters that are in the world today, as long as much as individuals, groups, or just situations. And so what I have here is a picture that I recently obtained. This was in the mail when Jim called me. And then, of course, I say, well, here's a picture coming. Here's a thought that I have. Here's a scripture I'm studying. Let's put this together. And this is what we're going to serve at Fellowship on July the 21st, 2013, this month. This is a picture of Paul Revere. And if you had asked me a few weeks ago, did one if by land, two if by sea, the two Lannans, one Lannan or two Lannans, which one was hung the night that Paul Revere made his ride? Was it one Lannan or two? I don't remember. Do you remember?
I I see, too.
Okay, good. Well, I've asked different people, do you remember? And most people say, I can't remember whether it was one by land or two by sea. Well, here's an artistic drawing of Paul Revere making his midnight ride. And just in the far distance are two small candle lanterns, able to protrude just through the darkness of the night across the Charles River there in Boston to indicate that the British soldiers, the Redcoats, were making an invasion that night, about 10 p.m., history has it recorded, that the Redcoats could go to Lexington and Concord the long way by land, or if they crossed over the Charles River, which wasn't that wide, they could take the shorter distance and cut off quite a bit of mileage and time. And since the Redcoats were marching to Concord for one purpose, to capture Paul Revere, John Hancock, and to take down the barns that were stocked with gunpowder and rifles and guns, because a war was coming between the American colonists and the King of England and the taxation. And so the plan was one candle lantern or two to be hung the night the British began to move. And so the picture shows two candles. Now, my illustration is this to show you how easy the human eye can be deceived. Those two candles stood in that church steeple, and if you were where Paul Revere was, just across the James River, you could see one candle or two. But if someone was standing at a distance away at this angle, how many candles would they see? One. So you could look at the steeple through some human eyes and say, I only saw one light. They're coming by land. So the human eye can be deceived just by what position you are when you make your observation. And boy, if you haven't had the TV on in the last 3 weeks, there's a predominant trial case going on, completed down in Florida, and you had witnesses that saw two lights and one light. You had witnesses that heard a voice, and just, I don't doubt they weren't telling the truth in the court under oath. But how in the world could one be on top, know the other was on top? Mass confusion. And so understanding how the human eye works, it's easy to deceive the human eye and see things differently. And they may be truthful, they may not, depending on your perspective. Well, the human ear is the same way. They have played that 911 tape over and over again. And just as many witnesses can take the stand and say, that's my son, as many witnesses that say, no, that's my son's voice. The human ear can be deceptive as well. So I turn to Scripture and seek out, how can I personally improve my vision and my hearing in the world that we live in? And so I use of the many sounds in Scripture. We have sounds in the Bible that are as quiet, as faint, undetectable by the human ear. When Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, and one by one the Pharisees left, let him without sin cast the first stone. They slipped out one by one. The most silent of sounds in Scripture. That writing, whatever he wrote on the ground, our Lord did. And they slipped out one by one. A silent sound. And we've got sounds of all different magnitudes and types. Up to, can you imagine the sound of, at midnight, Paul and Silas singing and praising to God, and an earthquake transponded, the ground trembling, and those walls of the prison locked, swung open, perhaps fell off, and the chains and all of the hardware wired strung around Paul and Silas, dropped off. Imagine that sound. There's a lot of information we can obtain and learn from Scripture by listening to what's recorded. And so today, of all the magnitude of sounds, I'd like to focus on one particular sound, the sound of thunder. And I will change my picture here. I just happen to have a picture of thunder. This is a picture of Benjamin Franklin the night he flew a kite during a thunderstorm to prove a point that an electrical storm and that lightning that we see, that it's electrical charge. I'd like to give this particular drawing or picture painting a title. Now, I don't think it has a title. It may not. But the title I would give this is "Don't Try This at Home." We know a lot more about electricity than Benjamin Franklin knew in his day, and so to do that would be pretty dumb and stupid to do. Fortunately, he proved his point without lightning coming down that kite string and hopefully going into a jar that he had prepared to capture that static charge. It would have very easily come through his body and taken him out. Many tried it after he tried it and were not as successful as he was, and it cost them their lives. Well, here's a picture that's reminiscent of a storm. And I would like to say a few things, first of all, about thunder, since that's our topic and our sound today. And Benjamin Franklin was out in the dark of the night or late afternoon trying his experiment. Never can I remember so much in history and news of current events have I seen in this past few weeks of the trial on TV of the amount of thunder that has come out of a storm that took place back in February of last year. There's a lot of thunder associated with a bolt of lightning, a tragedy. So let's look at our scripture today and see if there's something there in this sound of thunder that God can use through His Word to improve our hearing, to see the world differently, to hear the world differently, and go away with a better understanding. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and verse number 28, if you'd like to follow along. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus is speaking. There's a crowd around Him. You know, He was hardly alone, except at night. He had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There were seldom He was alone. And when He was, He prayed. He had opportunity to pray. But here, He's surrounded by a crowd of people. And Jesus speaking in verse number 28 says, "Father, glorify Thy name." Now, for some reason, I see Him looking up with arms stretched out. "Father, glorify Thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by, the witnesses, heard it and said, "It thundered." You hear that thunder? It thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Listen, an angel spoke to Jesus. Listen. Some said it was thunder. Some said it was an angel. Verse 30. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not of me, but for your sakes." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look into the scripture of Jesus speaking to the Father, glorifying His Heavenly Father among the crowd, how the people around that stood by were so confused at what they heard, the response as God spoke back to his son. May through these short verses, we gain some understanding and listen to what you have for us to hear today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thunder is something difficult to explain. It is the sound associated with lightning. Lightning must first occur, and then it's followed by sound with a delay based on distance. We know that. If you've ever been out in a thunderstorm, caught in a storm, caught at Walmart in a thunderstorm, and you hear that thundering and the lightning, the thing of the electrical storm, we know that the lightning, if struck a human, will kill you. That lightning is powerful. It will take your life away instantly. The lightning is that which we need to avoid. Take shelter. But what brings fear to the mind and heart and the soul of an individual is that thunder. Thunder just gives you that eerie feeling because you know nearby is that light. But yet thunder has never, to my knowledge, ever remember hearing anyone losing their life because of thunder. Thunder brings fear during a storm, but it won't hurt you. Thunder can be heard long before the lightning becomes visible. Animals, Scooter, can detect a thunderstorm in the making long before we even have an idea, long before the clouds appear. Wise animals. And those animals that can detect thunder take shelter. It brings fear upon them. It's the thunder that instills fear, not the lightning. But yet, humanly, it's the lightning that can be detrimental to our health and well-being. Thunder, even though it's a sound, can travel far distances. There are times you can hear thunder and never see lightning. The lightning can be taking place just across the curvature of the earth, out of sight. Not even see the bolt, not even see the flash of lightning, but the thunder. So thunder has a wide cast. And unfortunately, thunder, which brings fear, drowns out the wonderful sound of rain. Don't you love to hear rain on a rooftop? To hear the rain, the soothing feeling it brings to hear a good rain. Thunder takes that away. It robs us of the pleasure and enjoyment that we would otherwise have protected from the rain, but yet couldn't hear the rain or even see the rain. And so, as Jesus spoke, "Father, glorify thy name," there came a voice from heaven. What voice can come from heaven? A voice, not a sound, a voice. John is writing down what the Holy Spirit is dictating. And so John says there came a voice from heaven. He's just writing what he has been inspired of the Holy Spirit to write. A voice from heaven. Well, there's our answer. Who spoke? Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his heavenly Father, and then the voice responds to that voice. And what did that voice say? "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." I circled "I" in my Bible. That's so important. Did the voice say, "I have both glorified it," or did the voice say, you have both glorified it. The Father speaking to the Son, you have both glorified it. So why would Scripture have I? It has a lot to do with who you listen to. If you listen to Jesus and say, Jesus, what was that sound? It was my Father that said, I, speaking of Himself, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus could have easily said, Jesus said, you. Well, that would have been, can you imagine the thunder out of that? If Jesus said, you have both glorified it and will glorify it again. He had to use that personal pronoun. That voice said, I. Father, Son talking to the Father, Father responding to the Son. Jesus, you, or Jesus, let's drop the I-U, that can be confusing. Jesus, you have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What does that mean? He has both glorified His name being born of a virgin. He had glorified the name of His Heavenly Father by withstanding the temptation of Satan and resisting all temptation. By living on this earth, He had glorified His name by teaching the principles of God. He had glorified His name in all miracles that He did. He did them in His Father's name. Glorify the Father's name. And now there's one, here in John chapter 12, one more thing to do to glorify it again. He must die for the sins of the world. You, I, my Son, have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Verse 29. The people therefore stood by and heard it. Heard it. Heard what? What did you hear? What did you hear? What did you hear? I heard an angel. I heard thunder. I heard a voice. Sounded like an angel to me. And Jesus answered and said, this is what He heard. What did He hear? He heard the Father's voice. And that's where I stand today, up here, using Scripture, focusing on the sound in Scripture that you and I hear, can hear what Jesus heard. Jesus heard the Father's voice. My Son has glorified His name and will glorify it again. So Jesus turned to the crowd that stood by and answered and said, this voice, not thunder, not some angel speaking, this voice came not because of me. I heard it, but it wasn't for me. This voice came because of your sakes. You see, those that stood by had been sitting under the teaching of Jesus, and Jesus is talking about the crucifixion, the betrayal coming up. It's very soon upon Him. And they didn't want to hear that. That wasn't what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear Jesus going into Jerusalem to be king over Israel and start His kingdom. Their ears were tuned to listening to what they wanted to hear rather than what was being said. And Jesus said, this voice came not on me, but came for your sakes. How can I hear what Jesus heard? Had I been standing there, would I have heard thunder? An angel speaking? You know, there are a lot of, on TV today, there are a lot of good channels with gospel music and preaching, and boy, some of it is thunder. Salvation comes by works. It's just thunder. It's not what God says. They got it wrong. They heard and interpreted what these Scriptures say. They've got it all wrong. There's preaching thunder, I call it. There's thunder aboundful. That salvation come by works. Baptism, not important. It is important. Baptism is a requirement of salvation. So you can hear thunder in churches, in worship, and the many diversities of faith. Everybody's got the right answer. And so we must go to Scripture and tune out, block out the thunder, and listen to hear what Jesus heard. How can I do that? Is there any answer here in Scripture? I think so. The people, therefore, that stood by. A lot of people just standing around. They stood by. They were not close to the Lord. They were not with Him. No wonder they heard thunder or some angel speak. For us to improve our hearing, just like our vision, is where are you in reference to the source? If you're drawn close to the Lord and have followed His teaching and learned and sat under and listened to Him, if you listen to Jesus, you'll be able to hear the voice of God. But if you're just standing by, an observer, standing by some distance away, don't want to get too close to the Lord, don't want to get too close and affiliated with a church, they might ask me to do something, or give, or go. Standing by. And then they have all the answers. They create all the thunder, all the fear, to improve our hearing and to improve our vision is get close to the Lord. Personally, get to know Him. Know His voice. Listen to what He says. And as we tune in to His life and what He has to say, we can understand and hear the Father. Lord, open up our eyes, open up our ears, and open up our hearts to study Thy Word, to listen to the Lord, and follow His leadership, and we will be able to see this world in a better perspective and to hear what the Father has to say, and will guide us throughout our lives, serving Him and doing His will. It's when we stand by, listen at a distance, listen in the wrong place, not where God would have us to be, but where we choose to be. And we come away only hearing thunder, creating fear wherever we go, and non-productive. Your word is spoken to us. May it be our desire to seek Your voice, the voice of the Son, that we may hear the voice of the Father as well as the Son did. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's close the service with hymn number 473. Hymn number 473. Look at the first verse. Okay. Take the name of Jesus with you.